I've got a question for those of you who believe that God is the one who made you sick. If that's true, then why do you take medication and go to the doctor trying to get out of God's will? Why don't you just let it have its full effect in your life? You know, you need to answer that question. Stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series teaching on the subject of healing. And we've already been on this for over a week. I've given a video presentation of one of the most miraculous healings that I've ever seen. A young woman named Nikki Oshinsky. She's now married. Her name is Weller, but she was healed, unable to lift her hand, unable to comb her hair, unable to eat. She had all kinds of allergies to things and just miraculously raised up. It is God's will to heal people today. And then I've been teaching on the scriptural foundation for this. I've shown that the Greek word sozo, which is translated saved over 300 and something times in the New Testament, it includes healing. It's talking about the healing of your body. We took scriptures that put healing of your body and forgiveness of sins in the exact same verse, like Psalms 103, verse 3. And we went over to James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, about if you're sick, you should call the elders of the church and have them anoint you with oil and pray over you, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Sozo, the sick. That same word that was translated forgive sins is also translated and used interchangeably with healing of your body. And that's because healing is a part of what Jesus died to produce. It's a part of His atonement. I went over to Isaiah chapter 52 and 53 and took those scriptures where it says that He bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. By His stripes we are healed. And the church today has nearly universally just, you know, disregarded the obvious meaning of that and said that, oh, it means emotionally that God heals us on the inside and stuff. But this same verse was quoted in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, when Jesus healed all of the sick that were present. And it says, this was done that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So the Bible comments on itself and makes it very clear that Isaiah chapter 53 is talking about physical healing. I don't believe it's limited to that. Yes, it is true that God heals us emotionally and spiritually, but physically, Jesus died to produce physical healing in your body. And if you are walking in sickness, then you are not appropriating what Jesus has provided for you. I'm not mad at you. The Lord's not mad at you. I'm not saying that you're a bad person. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And most people haven't heard the truth concerning healing, and so therefore they don't have faith for healing because it has been hidden from us. But the Lord wants you to be well just as much as He wants you to be saved from your sins. He also died to save you from sickness. Amen. Boy, that's powerful, and I know there's a lot of people that struggle with that. I have people all the time say, if you really believe that God wants you to be well and that you aren't ever going to be sick, well, then how are you going to die? Well, you don't have to die sick. Now, our society today, they always ascribe some form of death, something that happened on a death certificate, and so they'll say that you died of cardiac arrest or whatever. But the truth is, you can just lay down, go to sleep, not wake up. You know what? You don't have to die sick. You know, I don't know all of these things for certain, but the story that I heard about Kenneth Hagin, who operated a lot in the healing power of God. There's a friend of mine that brought food over to him. I think it was on a Saturday night, the night before he died. And he was well and he was doing good and he was feeling just fine. And the next day he just died. Now his family called the emergency number, and they revived him, and they put him on a ventilator, or respirator, whatever you call this. They kept him artificially alive for like 5 days, and eventually they unplugged it and he went ahead and they pronounced him dead. But personally, I believe that that's just, you know, people, they didn't want to let go of him and stuff. But the truth is, he was feeling fine on the Saturday night when this friend of mine brought him food, and he was doing fine, and he just died the next day. And they tried to prolong it, but it was just as simple as that. You don't have to die sick. He hadn't had a prolonged illness. A man named E.W. Kenyon, who has written a bunch of books and had a great revelation on healing, he told his daughter one day that they were eating breakfast together. His wife had already died, and it was just him and his daughter sitting there. And he told his daughter one day that he was going home at 10:30 in the morning. And his daughter says, "Oh, Daddy, don't say things like that." So he didn't say anything else to her. He ate his breakfast. He read the paper some. He looked at his watch, and at 10:30, he folded the paper up and put it down and just fell over, and he was gone. You don't have to die sick. I don't know why we get this. I'm sure it's by observation, and we just don't believe the Word of God that we can be well, but there are scriptural examples. For instance, Moses, it says that he was 120 years old and his natural force wasn't abated. That means he was still strong and healthy. He wasn't in a wheelchair. He wasn't barely able to get around. He was still strong and healthy at 120 years old, and his eyesight wasn't dim. I know the things that I'm saying right here are just like off the charts from where people live today. And because of that, most people think, "Well, boy, you're weird." I'm just trying to base my life on what the Word of God says. This is what God's Word teaches. I've used all of these scriptures to show you that healing is a part of Christ's atonement. And what I want to do today is share with you, to me, the most convincing argument that God wants you well. Now, I've already shared a lot of things that if you believe the Word of God, if the Word of God holds any sway in your life, this should make you believe that it's God's will for you to be well. But to me, this is the greatest argument of them all. Over in John chapter 5, Jews were criticizing Jesus. They sought to kill him, and they were always on his case, because his lifestyle and what he was proclaiming about God condemned them, because they were saying that God was the source of all of their trouble. And Jesus came along saying, "No, it's God's will to do good." And he healed people, and they got upset because they didn't heal people. And so it was just easier to condemn him and try and prove him wrong than it was for them to start coming up to his level. And so anyway, here is this criticism and rejection from the Jews. And here's what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 19. "Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And he goes on and says a lot of really powerful things right here. Let me jump down to verse 30. "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." And there's a number of other scriptures that say these same points. One other verse that I'd like to put with this is Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." In the first part of that verse where it says that he is the express image of his person, if you look that word up in the Greek, it means a perfect representation, an identical representation. And see, this is what Jesus was saying over here in John chapter 5, verses 19 and 13, that he only does what he saw his Father do. He didn't do anything on his own. I use all of these references to say this, that Jesus represented God to us perfectly. He did what he saw his Father do. Now, that is a statement that I don't know how anybody could disagree with that, because Jesus proclaimed it of himself. The Scripture proclaims it of him. Jesus was the express image of the Father. And based on that, I challenge you to go to the Word of God and find a single instance where Jesus put sickness on a person, where Jesus refused to heal a person because they hadn't learned their lesson yet, because they were still being purified and made better through it. I challenge you to go through and find a single instance where this sickness glorified God and Jesus had a healing line or had people coming through and He would heal a few and then just put cancer on somebody. Now, the Bible says that He did everything that He saw His Father do, and He didn't do anything that was contrary to His Father. He was a perfect representation. If those things be true, then the absence of Jesus forbidding or refusing to heal a single person speaks volumes. That says that it is God's will for you to be well, because Jesus showed us the will of God. And what did Jesus do? It says this over in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, talking about Jesus. It says, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Not some, but all. All. There are literally dozens. I forget exactly the number right now, but I think it's 50 or 60 separate instances of healing, including raising from the dead, blind eyes being opened, all of these kind of things. Jesus healed people. He spent more time healing people than just about anything else. He used healing like a bell to draw people unto Him. And once they realized His compassion and they saw the wonderful things He did, then they began to start receiving the emotional and the spiritual things. But Jesus healed people. And there isn't a single instance where Jesus just said, no, it's God's will for you to be sick. Now, that's the way that, by and large, the church is representing God today and saying that God either puts sickness on you, does it as punishment, does it because it's a gift of love, which, you know, it just amazes me. Over in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, I believe it is, it's one of the signs of the end times. It says that people will call good evil and evil good. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says it's good to heal. And yet today there's large segments of the body of Christ that's saying healing is evil. That's of the devil. I tell you what, there are people today that are calling good evil and evil good. They're saying that these tragedies, this sickness, cancer, this is God's love gift to you. There are people I hear all of the time saying that God is the one that put this cancer, this trial, this tribulation in their life to make them better. That is not what the Word of God teaches. That's wrong. You know, just in case any of you have a question about this, I challenge you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And in those verses, it lists the blessings that will come upon people who obey God and the curses who come on people who disobey God. Verses 1 through 14 list the blessings. Verses 15 through 68 list the curses. If you're much of a mathematician, you ought to be able to figure out there's a lot more curses than there are blessings. And you have to interpret those passages of Scripture through the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. So Jesus redeemed me from the curse of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68. Now, even though I don't do everything perfectly, through the redemption that is in Jesus, I don't get what I deserve. I get what I believe. And I believe on the Lord Jesus, and I am receiving the blessings and not the curses. So you need to interpret Deuteronomy 28 in the light of that. But nonetheless, it does show what God considers a blessing and what God considers a curse. It's just like if you took, you know, a marker, and if you drew a line across the top and you wrote blessings over on this side, curses over on this side, then draw a line down the middle. You could go through and list everything that's recorded in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15, 14. And it says there that financial prosperity is a blessing, that having your enemies defeated is a blessing, that being blessed in your basket and in your store, having health in your body, it calls all of those blessings. Then it lists that sickness, the mildew, the botch, the itch, emrods, all sickness, all diseases which aren't written in this book of the law, all of those things are listed as curses. I tell you, it just is so clear in the Bible. Healing is a blessing. Sickness is a curse. It's not good. And yet there's large segments of people today saying that, oh, God loves me so much, He made me quadriplegic to teach me something. No, God didn't do that. God is not the author of those things. I know some of you still have some questions, and I'm talking just as fast as I can, and on our subsequent programs, we're going to be talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh, and we're going to be going through a lot of things that hopefully will answer a lot of those questions. But I'm telling you that the Bible teaches that healing is good, sickness is bad. And if you are sitting in a church listening to teaching that is telling you that God is the author of sickness and that it's the devil who heals, something is perverted. Something is seriously wrong with that teaching. And yet, there is a large segment, I don't know for sure, but it's close to 50% of the body of Christ today that is imputing the things of the devil to God. And they're saying that God is the one who is causing all of this tragedy, and that when somebody gets well, that it's the devil that healed them. You know, let me just say this. To those people who believe that God is the one that's putting sickness on you, and you say, oh, God gave this to me. If you really believe that, I doubt that you believe that, but if you say that you really believe that, if you really believe that this sickness is God-given, then let me ask you, why are you going to the doctor and why are you taking medication trying to get out of God's will? Isn't that hypocritical? If you really believe that God is the source of your sickness, then don't resist it. Don't go to the doctor. Don't take medicine. You know, I'm saying these things in love. I know I'm challenging a lot of you, but I'm telling you the truth. It's a hypocrite who says God made you sick, and then you do things to counter that sickness. If God made you sick, then be sick. If God's trying to teach you something through that, well, then let it run its full course. Why are you trying to minimize it? Why are you trying to decrease the side effects of it? Man, you ought to suffer to the max so you can get the full benefit of it. Now, of course, I'm not advocating you to do that. But I'm saying that that would be consistent with that. See, people who sit there and say, oh, God has made me sick. It's God that gave me this cancer. God's teaching me something, doing all of this. You know, they aren't even acting consistent with their own belief. What I'm teaching is consistent. That Jesus bore your sorrows and carried your griefs. By His stripes you were healed. God is not the one that's making you sick. Jesus died for your physical healing as much as He died for your forgiveness of sins. Healing is in Christ's atonement. He wants you well. And to me, Jesus models that. He said, I do only what I see my Father do. And again, you go through Scripture, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He never put sickness on a person. Now, there is an instance I can think of in Mark chapter 6 where Jesus was in His hometown and it said He could do no mighty work and He marveled because of their unbelief. Now, that same story is recorded in Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 58, it phrases it that the reason He couldn't do, not wouldn't do, but could not do many mighty works of healing is because of their unbelief. Jesus was operating in faith 100%. He was representing God the Father. He never put sickness on a person. He never refused to heal a person, saying, you haven't learned your lesson yet, or anything like that. There is an instance in Mark 6:5 where He didn't heal every single person, but it makes it very clear it was because of their unbelief, not because of His lack of willingness. The Lord represented His Father perfectly, and He represented Him by going out and healing people, and it's the same thing today. And let me just say this. I know that what I'm saying is so contrary that there are people getting mad and upset and thinking I'm out here trying to cause problems. I'm just saying that we've got to start hearing the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. And there are people today that are misrepresenting God. and saying that God is the one that puts sickness on us. Or there's people who are saying, well, God can heal, but you never know if God wants to heal. That's incorrect. Healing is in Christ's atonement. Jesus showed us that. He never refused to heal a single person. As a matter of fact, there was one time that people were criticizing him over healing and things like this. And he said about this woman, he says that healing is the children's bread. In other words, in the same way that a parent would not refuse food, sustenance to their child, God doesn't want to refuse healing. Lord wants to provide it. The Lord wants to see you healed as much as a parent wants to supply the physical needs of nutrition for their children. Man, that is God's will. Jesus had a man come to him in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew who was a leper. And he came and he said, Lord, I know you can heal me if you will to heal me. And Jesus turned around and says, I will be clean. Now, that man didn't know the will of God because the New Testament wasn't in effect. The Scriptures hadn't been written and things hadn't been revealed the way that we have them today. So it was appropriate for him to say, Lord, if you will, heal me. But when Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. Well, then that showed us forever that it is God's will for healing. God is no respecter of persons. If he wanted to heal that man in the 8th chapter of Matthew, then he wants to heal you. I'm telling you that this is a starting point. You can't go very far. Just believing that God can heal will not get you well. You've got to believe that not only can God heal, but that God wants you healed. And let me also say it this way. I've been to Benny Hinn's meetings. I haven't ever done anything except just attend as a person in the auditorium. I used to usher in Catherine Kuhlman's meetings. I've studied the life of many of the healing evangelists, the people that saw great, great miracles of healings, and I've read books by them. And I can say that this is a consistent thing. Every person who has a healing ministry and sees lots of people healed, without exception, believes that healing is in Christ's atonement, that it's for everyone. The people who believe God can heal, but that He doesn't necessarily want to heal, sometimes He puts sickness on you. Those people never have healing ministries. They never see very many healings. You know, that ought to tell you volumes right there. The people who see the greatest healings are the people who believe that healing is in Christ's atonement. That's because that's the truth. And this is the point that I'm trying to get across. And I tell you, this will set you free.
Andrew's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, has impacted thousands of people producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in one DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's 4-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The first teaching in this series is available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching TI1, titled Healing is in Christ's Atonement, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, in Boston, Massachusetts, for a Gospel Truth seminar August 6th through the 8th, and in Little Rock, Arkansas, August 28th through the 30th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th through the 18th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministries Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Anna has a heart to reach the lost, but she needs help getting started. Sean feels a call to the ministry, but he also feels unprepared. Ben and Maggie have been Christians for a long time, but in their golden years, they want a deeper relationship with the Lord. Are you like Anna or Sean or Ben and Maggie? If so, take the next step. Call, write, or go to our website and ask for the Charis Bible College brochure and DVD. Andrew Womack founded Charis Bible College to help you discover your destiny. There is joy and fulfillment awaiting you, the kind that only comes from knowing you are doing what God created you to do. Take that first step today. Call, write, or go to the website and ask about CBC. Coming to Charis Bible College this fall, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
The blending of our ministries together, what a joy for us, because to work with a ministry like Andrew and Jamie that love God's Word and they love worship. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. The teaching of the Word of God that we've sat under in the Andrew's ministry has really influenced our writing so much.
We have just added a brand new dynamic to our Charis Bible College, and that is that Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, who have been traveling with me for many years, and they have now joined up with our Charis Bible College to open up a school of worship and music ministry. And I tell you, they are powerful, and there's just so many things that they've learned in like 30-something years of ministry that they're going to be able to impart into people's lives.
New this fall at Charis Bible College, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. Call or write for more information.
You know, we tried various different prescriptions, different creams and ointments and things like that. We had everybody we ran into would always comment on that. They would ask him, what's wrong with him? Did he get burned in a fire? And we'd say, no, it's eczema. And
people constantly would come up to us in the stores or wherever we were and be like, well, what's wrong with his face? You could hear little kids walking by, what's wrong with that little boy's face, Mommy? And we had one person when we were up in Crested Butte come up to us and tell us that you need to get your child out of the sun because he's got a very bad sunburn. And we were just like, it's not a sunburn. He's been out here for 10 minutes.